Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Enteen speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the 19th of December, and ending on Christmas Day, Sunday the 25th. Okay, well, I have recorded a separate podcast for the new moon in Capricorn because there's a lot happening this particular week. And the moon had something worthy to tell us. So please look for that, because I will mention it in passing, but I won't go into the details when we get to it. It happens on the 23rd, which is Friday. All right, so Monday, we begin the week with the fourth quarter phase. As we're coming into a new moon, we're still looking at what we want to clear out and what we want to keep as the year ends. And as I've mentioned on my Facebook page, Astro Lessons, this is an interesting combination. When you get to the last quarter phase of the moon during the last quarter of the solar cycle, it becomes really more potent. And since this is the very, very last of the last quarter, because by a week after the Sunday that has Christmas, we will have the moment of going into a new year. We've come to the point this week of the winter solstice, so the sun will be waxing in light, and then that will be over. So the last 2 days of this double effect of fourth quarter lunar phase and last part of the solar cycle are Monday and Tuesday. So it's a very important time to notice that this is really where you want to have those thoughts taken care of by the end of those 2 days, so that you can start focusing yourself into the new and moving forward. Now, as far as the sun is concerned, I should say, Monday has the moon in Scorpio. Great place for you to be delving in deep, you know, going into the basement and looking at what you've got to get out of there. It's a sextile day to Venus in Capricorn until 8:22 p.m., so it's really positive energy where you can look at how to manage things and how to stay on track and keep your structures that you want intact. And even looking at, if you are involved with looking at career or outer world, that this is an excellent time. If you're looking at finances, this is a very good time to take a look at all of that. After 8:22 p.m., however, Moon in Scorpio goes to the monthly opposition, retrograde Uranus in Taurus, and that won't complete until Tuesday the 20th. This is all Eastern Standard Time, 1:33 a.m. So there's a change, there's a shift. Maybe you hear about it, maybe it's in your own life, but something is uncontrollable. And neither Taurus nor Scorpio enjoy that feeling. Let's just put it that way. And we all have it somewhere, right? So wherever that moon is in Scorpio in your chart, Uranus is opposite it, Taurus in another part of your chart, and that's where this stuff will be happening. Okay? So we go into Tuesday, the 20th, and in the early morning hours, you've got the moon in Scorpio figuring it all out again in a sextile to Mercury in Capricorn that completes at 6:58 a.m. Eastern. And so, you know, if you were open to receiving your messages in the overnight, maybe there's a dream that told you, gave you some good ideas about how to deal with that change. But it's a little early to act upon it. Unless you're across the pond, where you are already at 11:58 a.m. in England, for instance. What's going to happen after that for the moon is a square to Saturn in Aquarius until 11:41 a.m. So if you try to implement something on the morning in the Eastern time zone until that time, you get the reasons why not. There's an obstacle in the way for you. But while that moon square Saturn is coming in, Jupiter leaves. The sign of Pisces won't be back for at least 12 years. And so we have had our expansion of consciousness. We have had our expanded water experiences. We are now entering the dry, hot sign that's expanded. Okay, so in the northern hemisphere, you know, it might not be as apparent in that way as it may be where they are having, you know, the peak of summer in the following day. But we are going to be looking about how we deal with the expansion of the sign of Aries. And this is a factor in the new moon chart. I'd explain it a little bit from the new moon chart. But basically, you know, in the house, first of all, where you have Aries or houses, because sometimes it's more than, you know, like you don't always have a 0 degree at the cusp of your house unless you're an astrologer that artificially imposes that is their good idea of how to do it. You may have this transit of Jupiter and Aries in more than one house before it completes. And it's going to, like, you know, pretty much race through Aries this time. And that's kind of appropriate for the sign. But Jupiter has a tendency to do that, you know, after it retrogrades. It kind of quickly moves through. So now if we want to look and see, like, how long are we going to have the influence of expanded opportunity to learn the positive Aries energy, which is right leadership, enlightened leadership, with Jupiter there, and goodwill in our leadership. And, you know, while we may also be looking at some, you know, very expanded egoic people parading around, or we might be doing it too, Jupiter in Aries is going to incline towards aggression also, if it's not taken underhand by others. It will be, you know, like a big inflammatory experience. So, you know, we're looking at this, we know, in terms of the world climate, we already know. I mean, I don't have to tell you what's going on, and I don't have to tell you how fast we have to do something about it. So we may see people trying to do something about it, and also having, you know, difficulty, you know, getting that to take place. But Jupiter remains in Aries only until May of 2023, when on about the 16th of May it will shift into Taurus. And it's still moving quite quickly for Jupiter moving in Taurus. It won't get to a retrograde till it reaches 15 degrees of Taurus. So it won't go back into Aries, is what I'm telling you. So who benefits the most? People that have the happy conjunction or trine aspects or sextile aspects from Jupiter in Aries. And so those would be the fire signs and the air signs, except for Libra, because Libra will get an opposition from Jupiter in Aries. So there will be a need to do some moderating in Aries. And so it may not be the sun sign itself. It may be other planets or even your ascendant or your midheaven, which is the point where your outer life and career takes place, or the one opposite that, which is the cusp of your home and where you go to feel secure. So, and then this partnership house, which is opposite your ascendant. So those are places where they will feel strong energies of benefit coming in. I mean, Jupiter in Aries, we all have transits every, 12 or so years of Jupiter in our first house, which is Aries' house. So that's when we suddenly start getting all these, like, wow, people are coming and offering me opportunities. I'm getting all these benefits and gifts, right? So if Jupiter in Aries is in your first house, then you'll experience that, kind of big time. So we have this, and we have that potential. But again, the nodes also are going to shift, not yet, but they will be with a north node in Aries. And this is one of the reasons that I'm saying that we need to learn the positive Aries instead of just knowing the god of war and anger and aggression and impatience and, leaping before you look and, all of that kind of stuff, the burning. We need to look at the other part of it, which is, the ability to be the I am, the individuated self. And, for that, I would, I've been rereading an Eckhart Tolle book called A New Earth, where he is very easily and effortlessly describing to us, it's not fun, how to be the true self. The true self, the Jupiter, the honest true self, not the mask and, the act and the identity that has the ego in it. And this is a really potent idea with Jupiter in Aries, because Jupiter expands whatever. It's not just focused in one place. We get to choose where we're focusing it if we know. If we know, and this is one of the things I love about astrology, as I say to people, if I didn't know, that I'm having a square from Neptune, I would be much less conscious of how to deal with it, you see. So we all can know that Jupiter in Aries will bring some benefits for particularly certain signs and certain planets in those signs and certain places, expansion. All right, but also, it can be, tricky for the sign of Capricorn, which it squares. So it's a challenge to expand into new areas, because that's also Aries, invention and innovation. And this is something we need now more than ever. We need innovations and new ways of doing things. Again, for the planet itself, if not just for the individual, things that don't work need to be changed. And things that do work need to be expanded. So this is something also. So Capricorn is the thing that likes to keep it like it was, and consensus agreement and, traditional structure. So the Capricorn energy gets the challenge. And so does the Cancer energy, which is the water. Capricorn, the earth, Cancer, the water, that wants things to be sort of peaceful and is cozy and, is more concerned about the new, because is it dangerous to my survival, my family, the whole thing. So there's challenge for those signs and for planets in those signs. Okay, so, and then those other ones, Jupiter and can have like a need to adjust. For instance, if you are, having Virgo planets, Jupiter and Aries is in what we call an inconjunct aspect. So it's like we have to look at how we keep our ducks in a row while great movement is taking place. Let's put it that way. And, for someone like, Scorpio, that wants to be in control, and then here comes this leadership energy at it. It's, again, like, how do we adjust and not do something that's self-undermining or trying to undermine that other person? So there's a lot of energies that have to be, kind of dealt with. Yeah, let's just say that. So Jupiter in Aries, you know, most of the Aries people will at least have the Jupiter conjunction, and that's like a magic time. So look forward to it when Jupiter comes your way, if that is the case. So anyway, Jupiter has done this in time for us, you know, to have it in both the solstice chart and the new moon chart. So it is the big factor of the coming in the new year, right? So again, moon was squaring Saturn when this, you know, occurred. But after 11:41 a.m., Scorpio moon can receive good messages when it's in trine to Neptune in Pisces until 2:01 p.m. Open up, stop thinking logically, go into your sensing mode. And then moon in Scorpio can sextile Pluto in Capricorn till 9:45 p.m. So then you can take all that and try to apply it into some form and structure. That's when you do that. Okay? You can approach the authorities on the 20th after, you know, we get past the Saturn square. Moon enters Sagittarius at 2:12 a.m. on Wednesday, the day of the solstice. And it makes a trine to Jupiter in Aries, like 7 minutes later, 2:19 a.m. So that's a nice thing for Aries Jupiter to have as its first aspect. So we can expand our perceptions, our philosophies, our points of view. And that would be a good way to use Jupiter in Aries. The sun enters Capricorn at 4:48 p.m. Eastern on the 21st. And that is your midsummer. It is in the southern hemisphere. It is your midwinter solstice. This is when some of the pagan energies would be celebrating Yule. The old way. So this is the sun in Capricorn going right into a square to Jupiter in Aries. So that, again, that Capricorn energy doesn't, it's a challenge. It doesn't mean that that's bad, though, because sometimes you need a square to motivate you, you know? And so we could try being motivated to make a point between these two that works. 7:50 p.m. is when it comes in, that sun square Jupiter. But the moon has been going since 2:19 a.m. and until 8:48 p.m. into an opposition, and that's to retrograde Mars in Gemini. So we do have that conflict here, again, between the inner need to expand into a higher philosophy and to move on, to travel further, and this, you know, Mars energy that wants to pick all the trees and look at all their little details instead of seeing the forest, and also the philosophies versus people's thinking. You know, try to get natural law out there to people who aren't interested. This is something like that. So there's a potential for argument based on points of view. And so we have to be aware of that on Wednesday. And also if you're moving around, because both of those signs are travel. You know, some people may be traveling on Wednesday, and there could be a lot of jam up because of the long distance versus things going wrong in communications with the retrograde Mars. So you know, looking at the holiday coming with that in mind. So be aware. Again, if you're aware of it, it won't like hit you like, oh my gosh. You'll be like, you know, I have to really like focus here. I've got to be okay. I've got to get things happening. I have to give myself plenty of time and all that kind of stuff. So you don't feel the brunt of the opposition. After this, this is actually a better time to travel, and things will change and things will happen for travel if you get stuck. After, like, let's say 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, Moon in Sag goes sextile Saturn in Aquarius. Saturn in Aquarius knows how to change the schedules and make things work. This is a time we can start visioning for the future and have a good idea that makes sense, and that goes all the way until 1:19 p.m. on the 22nd, Thursday. We also have at that point coming in the Venus in Capricorn trine to Uranus and Taurus until 4:48 a.m. that morning. So, you know, we're able to accommodate change, and it works. All right. After 1:19 p.m., though, on Thursday, the Moon is square Neptune until 3:16 p.m., and this is not a great time to embark, because things are going to be weird and fuzzy and not clear and weather-related issues and all that kind of stuff. And then the Moon goes void, of course, for quite a long period of time. Hopefully that means no problem. So if you were embarking and you could avoid leaving after 1 p.m. or before 4 p.m., you'd be in better shape, is all I'm saying. Moon enters Capricorn, where we're going to have our new moon, at 2:49 a.m. on Friday, the 23rd. It will also square Jupiter. That's early, 3:13 a.m. in the Eastern time zone. And as it goes to join the sun at 5:17 a.m., I think I said p.m. on my other podcast, but hey, I'll correct it in the notes before you get to it. I'm not sure what I said. Chiron in Aries goes direct at 4:31 a.m. It's actually stationary in the new moon chart. And I do discuss it quite a bit because Aries, again. So Chiron is the wounded healer, but Chiron is also the great teacher and healer. And so what we can learn, you know, we don't always have to focus negatively on the wound of Aries. We can focus also on that teaching of how to be a right leader. How do we do this in the way that works? And so Chiron will be helping us with that. It will also show us our wounds in trying to be ourselves. And maybe sometimes we've been wounded in trying to be ourselves because we weren't, or we were in the wrong place trying to do it. I mean, and when I say we weren't being ourselves is, you know, we present things to people. We're not always authentic. I mean, if you know a person that's always authentic, you know, it's kind of like, as Eckhart Tolle says in the book, you know, if you're looking at your ego, it's your ego looking at it. You know, it's kind of hard to really get away from this, and it's not even necessary to get away from it. It's a thing just to be in observation of. All right, so I'm just saying that in case you think you've got, you know, that you've got that handled and you have nothing left to learn. You will be learning. So this is what's happening. Is, again, please listen to the forecast for that new moon coming in at 5:17 a.m. on the Eastern time zone. You won't see a new moon. I hope you remember that. So don't go running out into the night to see if you can see it, because it's with the sun, and the sun is not up yet. And you won't see it when it's with the sun, because it's in the rays of the sun. So Moon in Capricorn is going towards the trine to Uranus and Taurus at 3:02 a.m. Saturday, which is Christmas Eve day now. What that tells us is that the thrust coming off the new moon is to incorporate the changes, all right, and some of the changes that have already occurred. So, again, putting your intentions in is a good idea, and finding the way to do that, because you're now coming into a new lunar cycle. You have just had the sun complete its cycle. So now you're in the waxing first quarter of the moon, in the waxing first quarter of the solar cycle. So now you are also in a double, emphasis on waxing. So what it does in that beginning, in that crescent phase, that new phase, is it doesn't exactly have everything come to fruition. What it does is it thinks about, where do I plant my seeds? What's the best place for me to put them for optimum growth? You know, it isn't necessarily planting right away. It's figuring that out. And then, you know, what timing is right to plant? Also a good idea. So this is where you are, and you can start in on that, and that's even in the realm of Christmas Eve, the day of Christmas Eve, which gets a Venus conjunction from the moon at 7:16 a.m., gets a conjunction to Mercury at 2:32 p.m., gets a sextile to Neptune at 2:48 p.m. A beautiful way to come in on that. My personal experience of this particular time frame is that it's very potent, the solstice at this time. The 3 days later is when you get that movement on the horizon begin again. And so here you are waxing with the horizon movement, and this Saturday, this year, the Christmas Eve day, to me is angelic. I don't know why it's been like that for decades for me. I feel the most spiritual energy on Christmas Eve day. And I think that's why I used to like going to the services, you know, in the evening, and the songs and everything would just the candles and all of that just made such a beautiful sense of spirituality. Well, you can get that even earlier in the day on Christmas Eve, and particularly this one, as you have that ability to structure in, to make things make sense to you, and then to rest in the Neptune sextile while Mercury is also sextile Neptune until 8:17 p.m. Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Here, again, if you want to do your, I said again because I mentioned this in the new moon forecast, you can do a vision board, or you can do your 12 cards for what is going to happen in each of the 12 months coming after Christmas. You can pull a card on the 12 days of Christmas, you know, these kinds of things to help you figure out what those months ahead are going to look like for you. Of course, you can also get an astrology reading, naturally. And until the 25th, I am doing that discount price. You can get in touch with me, Shelley, at shelleyandteen.com or through the website, and find out how to get that. I will say that it gets a little intense after we get past the Mercury sextile to Neptune, I think, because the moon is going conjunction Pluto, as it does every month while Pluto is in Capricorn, and that's at 10:11 p.m. So people get a little bit, excessively focused, let's say. Obsession is a word that is not Capricorn, but is Pluto. And feelings and instinctive feelings combined with Pluto, and it's hard to separate out that obsessive need. All right, so you may be seeing some people in that. You may be feeling it. But, it's also a time when if you're pulling together with the same, you know, wagon, you can get a lot done. After 10:11 p.m., the moon is void, of course. It enters Aquarius on Christmas morning, It's kind of a nice sign for gatherings, if you are gathering. 2:14 a.m. and a very early morning sextil to Jupiter, 2:56 a.m. That's when you're having your visions of sugar plums if you're dreaming. You may still be awake on the West Coast. It's only getting close to 1 o'clock in the morning, so you may be still up, and doing your Christmas cheer eggnog thing or whatever. But it's very jolly, definitely jolly. And then Moon in Aquarius trines Mars in Gemini until 6:34 p.m. on Sunday. So you may have a good experience with others, and, things can be working fairly nicely. You may be going back over some thoughts and ideas because of the retrograde nature of Mars. But once we get past 6:34 p.m. on Sunday, be careful. It may be weather-related issues, but Moon in Aquarius is the ruler of Uranus, and it is squaring Uranus and Taurus. So the roads may get icy. There may be issues with the cold. There will be some kind of a surprise or a change, but an accident is not impossible. The closer you get to it is 2:35 a.m. Eastern on Monday, the 26th, which is the end of Hanukkah and Boxing Day in Canada and the UK, and Kwanzaa begins. So that is that day, and we'll get into that next week. And the next week, as I said, is when we're going to have the new year begin on Sunday, the 1st. But also, this little pesky thing is happening. We're already starting to feel it over the weekend, and that is that Mercury is going stationary, and it will retrograde on the 29th of December. So, a couple of things to talk about the week after Christmas, and I do wish you all a very happy holiday, whatever holiday it is that you happen to be celebrating, and I'll say goodbye for now.